Well, I just kind of felt, you know, I'm quite the feeler as it is, you know, as a prophetic person, and I pick things up, you know, I experience them a lot. So I experience a lot constantly, and it's been like that for many years. How many years is that?
Many.
Yeah. Says, yep. Exactly. And I'm actually writing a book on it. But anyway, so I can't help but just pick up the, I don't know what you call it, the temperature, as it were, or the feeling of, you know, the presence of the Lord, or what the Lord is doing, or what people are experiencing in the group. Sometimes I'll experience it collectively, and what's going on in a group, and sometimes I'll pick up an individual, sometimes I'll pick that up as well. And so I think that over the last, I think it's been at least for the last 3 weeks, before that, for about 8 weeks, I was experiencing this intense heaviness almost every single day. It was so heavy. And then the Lord just kind of gave me this word to share on my website. You can actually go there. It's, you know, on validation, our source of validation. And the Lord gave me that word. It's just really an amazing word, you know, just about our validation comes from Him, not from our callings or gifts or anything like that. So once I released that word, then something else, then I started picking up something else. And I'd come into I'd be here or I'm at home, and I've just kind of been experiencing a kind of a lull or something in the spirit, almost like a resistance. It's not like the heavens are brass. You've heard of the heavens being brass, right? So in other words, it's like, it just feels like God's not listening or anything like that. It's not that, and it's not oppression, and it's not anything heavy. It's like a lull, or like the doldrums, as it were, in the spirit, like things have slowed down. I said, what is this feeling of? It almost feels like something has slowed down. I'm not saying it for all of us, but a sense of like the spirit is almost kind of like two steps away, but even though the spirit is there, but it feels like the spirit is two steps away, kind of a thing. And, you know, I looked at the word, the doldrums, you know, because that's the word that came to mind, you know, the ships at sea that they would be traveling. There's an area above the equator, and that when you enter into that, the weather is, the wind stops, or it barely blows, and the waves barely move, and it could take a long time to get through it. Back in the olden days, you know, hundreds of years ago, they didn't have steam or anything like that. It would take them a long time to get through that, and sometimes what they'd have to do is dump the cargo and dump the horses and everything, because they had to save for food and water. That's one of the reasons why they call it the horse latitudes. So so it's kind of like I said, that's kind of what it feels like, Lord. I feel like I'm in the horse latitudes here somewhat, but what is it? But it's not me, but there's something. And I just was asking the Lord about this, and I felt like the Lord was just saying, well, this is a season of quiet. That's what it is. It's nothing that anything is bad is going on. It's a season of quiet. And He says it's like traveling in the desert, and you go from oasis to oasis. You're in this wonderful oasis, and there's water, and there's food, there's camels and everything. Oh boy, camels and dates. And stuff, you're traveling through the desert to the next oasis, right? So for some of us, we're in between oasis, what's the word for it? What's the oases? Yes, oases. Why, thank you very much. Thank you. Oases. Oases. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lindsay. Yes, so I felt like the Lord was just kind of showing me that, and I said, okay, well, this is really kind of interesting. And so then he reminded me, he said that there is a season for everything, like the flowers that bloom and go to seed. I get a lot of lessons just by looking at nature. You know, I like looking at in my backyard, there's trees and flowers and stuff like that. And I'm watching them and I'm learning things from them. Why am I learning? It's because, what is it? Is it Psalm 19 that the heavens, it says that the heavens are declaring the glory of God? Is that it? Psalm 19? Is that it? Yes? Yes. It's Psalm 19, even if it isn't. No, it is. Psalm 19. Okay. So I'm learning lessons, and I have like these planters in my backyard, and it's just there's like just dried stems in the dirt, and the dirt is just kind of all kind of really, really dry. And I can throw that dirt away. If I didn't know what was going on, I could throw it away. But what's in it are bulbs that eventually they'll come up into beautiful flowers. But for right now, they're dormant. And it's important for them to be dormant. And eventually, the cold, they have to go through the cold as well. And somehow it stimulates the hormones inside of them, you know, and the chemistry to cause them to eventually grow into something really beautiful. And I feel like the Lord was saying that that's the same with all of us. We go through these periods that are really, really important for us. And so I wrote in my journal, because I keep a prophetic journal, and this is a few weeks ago, and it says that plants rest before they flower again. This is what the Lord is showing me. Plants rest before they flower again. And so this lull that we're in is necessary if you're in a lull. And the ocean has waves, and the Lord showed me the oceans have waves, or they have crests and they have troughs, right? And he said that the troughs are just as important as the waves, as the crests are. And there can't be any waves if there's no troughs, and there can't be any troughs if there's no waves, and vice versa. And they're essential to one another. They're basically one and the same because it's all water. So whether we are dormant or in a lull, or whether we are, you know, just really full of energy and, you know, just rejoicing in the Lord and ministering to people and connecting and being creative, it's all the same. We're still the same person. The Lord is saying, you haven't changed. It's just that you're in a season. And and he said that without the valleys, there can be no mountains, and vice versa. And he says, things grow in the valleys. Amen. So things grow in the valleys. And so I go, okay. And what was really interesting, you know, as I was just kind of preparing this message, I'm just, you know, in my bedroom, and I'm just kind of, I'm kind of rehearsing it, you know, and everything. And so, yes, we do rehearse when we do. But anyway, who was it? Paul Kane, I remember. When he was a little kid, he was practicing prophesying. What he would do, I think he said that he had these nails, either it was clothespins or nails, and he would line them up, and they were like people, and he was prophesying over them, you know, practicing prophesying. But so there I'm in my bedroom, you know, And I'm just, you know, connecting with the Holy Spirit, you know. It says, oh, yes. And the Lord wants to encourage you, and he wants to wake you up and bring fire into. And I kept hearing this racket coming from outside. What the heck is that racket, you know? I said, miserable racket up there on the hillside while I'm over here preaching and prophesying, you know. There will be lulls and everything. What the, you know. So I opened up the window, and it was a song, and it was from the Shirelles. You're not going to believe this. It was so funny. And the song was, Mama Said There'd Be Days Like This. And I go and I look at the song, and the last verse, it says, Mama said, hey, don't you worry now. So I go, wow, this is exactly, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's like the Lord said there would be days like this, right? It'll come and go, you know. He says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome. So it'll come and go, come and go, come and go. So there's a rhythm that we need to get used to. Nothing bad has happened. We haven't done anything wrong. And this is true for anyone that's involved in ministry. And I know that there are people from other churches that are watching, maybe leaders or pastors or something like that. Maybe you're going through that thing. But the thing is that there are seasons, and they come and they go. I mean, I was in the city, and I noticed, I was visiting a church over there, and I noticed, I said, well, things seem a little different. They kind of slowed, and someone mentioned the same thing to me as well. Though there was a lot of new people, where did the other people go? And there was just whatever. So there's these ebbs and these flows, and it's all part of what God is doing. God is moving on the face of this world. He's moving through all the different fellowships, and he's preparing us for something pretty amazing. And you've heard me saying that again and again. So the Lord just reminded me of a word that I had written and I published on my website, whisperoflove.org, and it's called Tarrying in Dormancy. This might have also been published as a newsletter. And it was December 22nd of last year, and I felt like I'm supposed to read this again. I felt like the Lord just kind of indicated that I should read this again. I said, all right. So I've noticed also, and what I was really kind of surprised, so I said, okay. So I read through this word, and I go, wow, this, the Lord was telling me about what's coming, or what's coming ahead. Sometimes I'll get these words, and they may actually come to pass either within 6 months to a year and a half, and some of them much later. So here we are in the midst. I'm feeling this thing in the air. I haven't experienced this in a long, as a matter of fact, I don't know that I've ever experienced what I've been feeling over the last couple of weeks. It's different and it's unusual. And I feel like, you know, every once in a while I will ask the Lord, I said, Lord, what's going on? And it's almost kind of like he's playing like peekaboo, you know? And he's kind of going, everything is okay, don't worry about it, you know? And I go, huh? Oh, okay. So he would kind of do that. It's really unusual how he would do that. It's almost like that someone turned the light on, you know, for a few seconds and then turned it back off. I go, okay. So I feel like, you know, part of this is what he's doing is my faith is becoming strengthened, right? And also my hoper is also hoping. So it's staying alive. He keeps my hope alive and my faith alive. And it's kind of like a muscle, and he's strengthening that part of me. I said, everything is okay. I'm on the right track. We are on the right track, regardless of what you see, regardless of what's going on. But I'm going to read this. So I start this out with John, John 15. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And it goes on to say, this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. And so it says, so all of us are remaining in him, therefore we will be bearing much fruit. And we're not apart from him, which means that we can do everything. And that we're going to be showing forth the Father's glory because we're going to be bearing fruit. Why? Because we're abiding in him. We are abiders. Every single one of us are abiders in the Lord. So I'm going to just read the whole thing here. This will take about an hour and a half. But anyway, and then we can all go home. Anyway, many plants have to go into dormancy depending on the season, and their growth slows. So here he's telling me about plants back then, and then he's reminding me again the last couple of weeks. I had completely forgotten about this. So many plants have to go into dormancy depending on the season, and their growth slows. Just so he showed me that many of us are in a dormancy period. We aren't spiritually dead. We didn't do anything wrong. He did not pass over us to bless someone else or some other ministry or whatever. He said that we can't always be bearing massive amount of fruit, and that there was an ebb and a flow of fruit bearing. The flowers will come back again. This is a time of tarrying. He said, for now, it's important to do what is before us daily and to live in the now rather than tomorrow. And the most powerful thing that we can do is to focus on today, even if it seems so very prosaic, or I guess, you know, just uncomplicated. Or no matter how hard we try, we can't make the prophesied glories of the future happen today. Incredible glories of his presence await us as an absolute certainty. So it's an absolute certainty that we are going to experience our mountaintops, our crests, in the waves. And no amount of wishing and praying can speed that up, no matter how badly we want that. A better way to embrace what appears to be a predicament, so it kind of feels like a predicament, is to relax and to tarry with no worries. Sometimes I feel like I just want to have a little more excitement, you know. I just want to be really, really just all revved up and excited. But I'm not feeling that at all. I'm just kind of going, you know. And I feel like the Lord is saying, it's all right. That's okay. It says, we've been through a lot of pain. This is back in December last year. It says, we've been through a lot of pain and angst, and the balance of justice will soon tip in our favor. More favor is coming, and that is an absolute certainty. It's important to grasp that reality in faith, even if we don't see it today. Live in faith for a glorious future of the great move of his Spirit, and live in faith today, embracing what you have set before you today. Today is where life is. So it's not just for the great move of the Spirit, but for you to come alive, you know, in your creativity, in whatever you're doing. If you're writing books, if you have special projects you're working on, if you have relationships you want to, you know, be engaged in, you know, do whatever exploits in job situations, promotions, you name it, you know, it's coming. That will come again. So it comes and goes. You know, I'm in business myself. I do web development and graphic design. And so I see that I will have it's seasonal. I see a flurry of business. I would have so much, and I'm just every single day, and my arm is hurting from the mouse and everything. I'm getting carpal tunnel syndrome, whatever. And it's just, I'm making a lot of money and everything. And then all of a sudden, it would just drop off, and I'd go into this lull. Well, at the beginning, when I first started, I would just go into complete panic, you know. And I probably shared with Russ many times, I'd start catastrophizing. It's the end of the world. Oh, my God. I'm going to be living on the dole here any moment now, and I won't be able to pay anything. And God only knows, you know, what's going to happen to me. And then after a while, I begin to realize, wait just a minute, you know, it's a seasonal. It comes and goes. And I always saw it as the blessing of the Lord. I said, His blessing, it comes and goes, but it's always constant. It will always be there. So now I don't freak out when I have a lull in business. As a matter of fact, it feels wonderful, because then I can do other things. So one of the things that I don't think some of you know, but I took up knitting. And so I just love doing that. It's like programming, but you're programming with your fingers, right? It really is. And I noticed, I said, why does this look funky here? I have a fatal error in my knitting here. And then I will discover that down below, oh, I messed up these stitches here. I'm going to have to unravel it and redo the whole thing and redo it to get it correctly, right? But I also do programming, also programming language as well. So it's a very logical kind of a thing. So during this, I've been through, there was a little trough here with business. So I was able to finish a project that I've been working on for a whole year. It takes a whole year to create a scarf. It really does. It's just a lot. You know, just a little every single day. So I'd be there like laboring, you know, for a couple of hours, knitting away. And then I measure to see how far did I get? A half inch. Now I have to go see the chiropractor. Got a chink in my neck for a half an inch. Anyway, so today is where life is, you know. So I, you know, with the knitting thing, it's a creative thing, so I got to do my creative thing and also read this novel. I think there was a novel, like 2,000 pages, and I've been reading that as well. And science fiction, I love science fiction. Philip Jose Farmer, anyway. Philip Jose Farmer. He wrote this book on like these multiple universes. So people are traveling back and forth through these universes. There's all this amazing travel, whatever. Anyway, so today is where life is. What he is saying is that where we are at now is normal. Dormancy is normal. For plants, when they go into dormancy, they're building up their strength, preparing for spring. We are being built up in our spirits, being prepared to contain an incredible season of fruit bearing that we have ever seen in our lives. And then, this is what the Lord is sharing with me to share with you. And so I wrote this down. So he's saying, tarry before him in intimate interaction and openness. Drink of his presence daily, even in the simplest everyday things. Invite him to participate in everything you do. Invite him to observe and give him permission to go deep and to help your unbelief and to do deep inner healing. And I feel like, and I just also shared not too long ago, because of this, and the Lord, I feel like the Lord keeps bringing me back to this message for you all and for people that I minister to. It's this whole thing. I said, we're in the midst of something where the Lord is doing a deep work, and it's really, really important to hang in there and to not let go and to not give up the ship. And to not let go of the rudder. I shared that, I can't remember, not too long ago. We're on a ship, we're traveling, and the Lord is saying, do not let go of the rudder. Hang in there. Don't give up the ship. Don't bail. Don't quit. It also, I felt like, as well, you know, usually sometimes it's easy if you're not feeling very inspired, that it's easier to say, well, I don't, you know, I'm not going to go to church today. I'm just going to stay home. And it's not like it's, there's no legalistic thing where we demand that you go to church, you know. There's a scripture in Hebrews. It says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. This is Hebrews 10. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So sometimes I think people might, and I've seen this over the years, over many, 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 many years. How many years? That's right. And I remember when I came back to the Lord, and this was back in the late 70s, and I started attending fellowship. And then sometimes I would kind of withdraw. It was easy for me to withdraw from the fellowship or whatever. But then that's the time when I would feel like I was coming under attack, you know, or that's how I saw it. That's what I was taught, you know. I was being taught, the devil's going to get you, you know, if you're avoiding church. But I always suspect, I think they want me to go to church because they want me to tithe. But anyway, so. They don't want the devil to steal that money. Anyway, so. But I just kind of felt like the Lord, he was just showing me. He said, when you start to wander from fellowship or from your friends and your family, it's like there's wolves out there ready to take advantage of you and start stealing away your hope and your peace and your joy and to devour you, you know. You come out from under an umbrella of light, as it were. And I remember how I fell, when I fell away from the Lord, I started fellowshipping with people that did not believe in the Lord. And I found myself believing in what they were believing in and got pulled further and further away. That's the wolf that the enemy sent after me to devour me and drag me off into just a very unhappy life. Someday in the future, I'll tell you the whole story. But anyway, but I felt like what the Lord was showing me is that when we walk away from the Lord, or you start walking away from your Christian friends or from fellowship or from connecting, that kind of a thing. And it's kind of like the prodigal son, you know. He says, I'm just going to go off on my own and my own internal resources and just go and pursue the things that I want to pursue. And I remember I came to a place of feeling really, really hopeless. I mean, so hopeless that I wanted to commit suicide. That's how bad it was. I just could not cope with every little thing that was happening daily. You know, it's like work was hard, you know. You know, my car was breaking down. That was hard, you know. Relationships were hard. Everything was hard. And so every time I would think about how hard it was, I just said, you know what, I think I just want to kill myself. Literally kill myself. And so I felt like the Lord showed me in retrospect, he said, what happened was that you had a bag of coins, and those coins represented hope. And you pulled out of that bag your hope, and you spent it on running away on the world and whatever. And before you know it, your bag of hope, your coins were gone and you didn't have anything left. And I felt like, wow. I said, wow, Lord. I mean, that's kind of a simplified, that's kind of how he showed me. So, and then coming back to the Lord, he refilled my heart with hope. So now I have hope, right? Yay. And that's true for all of us. And hope, what it did was stir me to excel in my life and to make mature choices more and more and more and more. And that's what happens with all of us. But one of the things is that I found that some of that hope is encouraged by the people that I'm around, by the family and the friends that I have around me, all the confidants, right? They shore up my heart and stir up my hope and stir up my faith. And like right here in Hebrews, it says, in 24, it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And so it's kind of like we cheer each other on to go forward. And so I highly recommend that even if there's a lull in the spirit, and even if there feels like you're, like there's a kind of a doldrum, you know, in fellowship or anything that you're doing, is don't give up and don't bail and don't bail on relationships, you know? And I would just say that also too, if you're like a, even if you're like a new believer, it's like even that much more important that don't quit your Christian friends and your Christian family. Don't quit your people who are more mature and more strong than you are, and cling to them and follow their example. And so it's really, really important, and just be a good disciple. And I feel like it's important for me to say that, you know, for anyone here, but also for people that are watching online. I know that these are recorded and for the future, and people eventually will listen to them. And who knows, maybe 2 years from now, they see, hear this message and it will strike your heart. But I just wanted to let you know that I think it's just so important. But I think that it's for all of us too, because we all still kind of remain children, and like children inside. And parts of our heart can withdraw and say, well, I don't really need to connect anymore, not that much, or whatever. You know, and then you find yourself feeling discouraged. But I want to encourage you, just work on reconnecting if you've been disconnected in whatever way. So sometimes what I like to do, I know that it's kind of the lazy man's way of connecting, but nevertheless, it's still a connecting. It's when I like something on Facebook, you know? And so I either like, or I hug, or I laugh, or I cry. So if nothing else, I have a friend of mine. She was a best friend, one of my best friends in high school. Her name is Karen, Karen Meredith. And so we just started reconnecting, I guess maybe 10 years ago, but we don't really have anything in common anymore. But she's on Facebook. We kind of, more or less, but I know that we liked each other, we enjoyed each other's company. So I'm always connecting with her by liking her stuff, you know, checking in with the like. At least I'm connecting with people instead of just ignoring people. And then they just kind of, they touch me as well with a like or a love or a whatever you call it, you know. And so, but that's one of the ways, you know, to connect, you know. But I also like to, you know, answer your messages, answer your emails, make a phone call, do these kinds of things, and don't fall out into a place of, I don't know what you call it, discouragement, as it were. like it's kind of like you're almost kind of like what you do is you start to make the doldrums even more doldrummy, you know, by doing that kind of a thing, right? So I feel like, you know, just I feel like this is important for us is to stir the pot and to stir our hearts and to, you know, sometimes to get a fire in the fireplace, getting to get it going more is you have to poke it, right? You have to like dig at it, you know, just dig it up. And I feel like, whoa, I just kind of felt that. I felt like the Lord was saying that he wants to do that for us. And he wants us to stir each other up and to spur one another. And I'm just trying to decide how we're going to do that. But anyway, there is a poem that Emily Dickinson wrote, and in the 1800s, and I've always loved this poem, and I just want to read it to you. It's called Hope is the Thing with Feathers. It says, hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me.